The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
The information and ideas provided within this show are intended for educational purposes only and not intended as investment advice. The hosts of this show do not provide tax or legal advice. You should consult with your tax or legal professional regarding your individual situation. No information should be interpreted as securities advice. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, and investment professionals. While we have endeavored to ensure the accuracy of the information in this program, we do not guarantee or give any warranty as to the accuracy, timeliness, or completeness of any information. The process of buying and selling a business can be frightening for the parties involved. What paperwork is needed? What is the true market value of the business? How do you know what transactions are required to be processed in addition to the sale of the business? Welcome to Biz Broker Talk, where you'll find the answers to these questions and much more. Your hosts, Robert Howells and Doug Scheiding, have a decade of experience providing business broker services to large and small businesses. Today, they're ready to help you. Here's Robert and Doug.
Welcome to Biz Broker Talk. This is show number 8 on the 11th of February, 2014. Today's show topic is the Deferred Sales Trust. The host of the show's Biz Broker Talk, of course, is Robert Howells and myself, Doug Scheiding. Robert is conspicuously absent today. He actually had an out-of-state client flying in, so I'm going to be the host today. But it's okay. Next week, I'll get him back while I'm on vacation. Robert and Doug, myself, are owners of Business Brokers of San Antonio, which has been doing brokerage for over 10 years here in the San Antonio, South Texas area. We also have another company called Equipment Appraisers of San Antonio that does equipment, certified equipment appraisals in the South Texas area. Today, if you have questions, you can email them either today or if you listen to the show via podcast, you can email it to podcast@bizbrokertalk.com. If during the show you have questions today, you can call in, and that number is 866-472-5790. And, of course, you can always visit our website at www.bizbrokertalk.com. Last week we had John Denny speaking about the boomer bust and the upcoming silver tsunami of retiring baby boomers. And this was a good primer for sellers of businesses to basically get prepared that there's going to be a flood of businesses for sale, so you need to prepare your business and try to make it as attractive as possible to the fewer and fewer buyers that are going to be out in the market. We did have a winner of the book giveaway for John's book, which is Hunting in a Farmer's World, and that was a listener, Sandy, in the Central Texas area. This week, we have Robert Binkley, and he is going to speak on the Deferred Sales Trust. I'd like to read a little bit about his bio. Robert is the founder and CEO of the Estate Planning Team, or EPT, which provides brokers, CPAs, attorneys, real estate, and insurance professionals marketing and administrative support services to implement estate planning and capital gains deferral strategies for their clients. He earned a Bachelor of Science degree with a major in finance from the University of Utah. And last but not least, in 1985 to 86, he played for the professional football team, the San Francisco 49ers. It's hard for me to say that, Robert, with being a Dallas country here in America's team.
That's for sure.
Yeah, so we'll agree to disagree on that subject. But, I just learned of this structured sale, even though I've been doing brokerage for a while, just recently. And, in your case, the Deferred Sales Trust. And I thought it'd be a lot of interest to sellers of businesses because what we found in 2012 was the fear and uncertainty of the increase in capital gains, and you know, was it going to go to 20% or was it going to go to 25%, drove a lot of sellers to sell. And even at that, they still had to pay their, you know, 15% capital gains. And so maybe that's a good place for us to start, is really talking about the increase in capital gains, because on some levels, for some people, it went up to about 8.8%, did it not?
Absolutely. I mean, the concern for people now, and it just depends on, you know, in federal, we're looking at anybody that's single that makes over $400,000, and that's your adjusted gross earnings, you know, in, as well as your capital gains combined, that you would actually go into the 20%, from 15% to 20, and then anything over 450 as a married couple, that you're at, along with the capital gains, you know, if you're over that number, you're going to be at 20%. So then you also need to look at your state. In where I live in California, the lovely state of California, we pay 9.3%. But however, if we Ouch. Make over $1 million, we're at 13.3%. So you can see that it gets pretty serious with the taxes out in the West, and certainly in New York, and you know, in other states. But and then also you need to add the Obamacare tax, which now, if you
Right.
make over $200,000 as an individual or $250,000 as a couple, you're going to add another 3.8%. So it's getting pretty serious for people that are considering selling, and they really have to, you know, to really kind of think twice and think of other alternatives than just paying the tax if they want to save money.
Absolutely. If you're a seller of a business and it's usually going to be over the $200,000 or $400,000 range of what proceeds you're going to be getting at the sale of the business.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, in terms of, it's a new concept to me, and the structured sale. Can we go about kind of how it came about in this, I think it's what, IRS code 453?
Yes. I mean, I've been doing this now going on my 16th year. Our tax attorneys that basically founded the structure have been doing it for 21 years. It's just a 453 installment, but it's a unique installment. Instead of actually selling the asset directly to somebody that would like to buy your business and then actually doing an installment, which really means financing them over time. And the IRS will allow you to finance them over time. The only concern that you have when you finance somebody is, are you really going to get your money? Are you going to get paid? And the only collateral that you really have is the actual business in itself. So in the event that you sold your practice to somebody and then they bought it, then you're relying wholeheartedly that they're going to pay you back. And if they don't, then you're going to get your business back. And, you know, and that can happen. The only concern about it is, do you get your business back at a much reduced value than what you originally sold it? And that's the real concern of doing a traditional installment. And then the other concern about an installment is that if somebody buys your business and then they decide that they're going to go out and sell it later, you know, maybe you have a 10-year term to be paid off, and they decide to sell it in year two, and they sell it for a profit, then you're going to get paid off, and you basically miss, 8 years of deferral under a traditional installment. So the early payback can become problemsome, and then also the default is even worse. So that's really where the deferred sales trust has come in, and we've created this to give you the same type of treatment of tax of being able to finance, but we have a third party trustee that buys your asset and then basically sells it because it has a new basis in the asset, actually does the sale out to a new cash buyer, and then actually the money is inside a trust, which you as the seller note holder would be secured against that asset with a lien on the account that would be diversified in things such as stocks, bonds, mutual funds, annuities, things that you would deem appropriate and secure before the transaction ever took place. So it becomes a very nice way to keep all your money working for you, yet you know, the in this case, the trustee would buy the asset from you and diversify that money and pay you over time and give you the adequate collateral that you would deem appropriate, again, as diversified, secure, and then obviously be able to watch it. And that's something that's very important in a traditional installment, is that, you know, you don't know when your value is going down because you don't see a real value or a real price that's marked to the market every day. So if you're watching your installment, you really can't watch it. As long as they're making their payments to you, the value of your sale of the business that you sold to them could be going down in value, yet they're making their payment to you. Yet over time, they make, you know, 1 year's of payments, but the value's gone down by 50%. You've lost 50% of value, and they've only paid you for 1 year. Then they decide, you know, I'm going to give it back to you. You know, which is, you know, problematic in itself, is that you can't really protect yourself in the event of a default, and you can't see it coming because it's very difficult. So that's that's one of the differences in what we provide, and certainly can shed a lot more light on it.
Okay, so what you're saying, if I understood you, is that basically, if under a traditional installment note where there's sell or carry, a lot of times you don't have an inside view of the financial health of the business, where this gives you a much better view of how your money is performing.
Yeah, I mean, you're watching it in real time because you're able to see what the trustee is doing with the money and investing, because you can watch it real time. And then you also have the control that he's not able to invest in things that are really risky. He can only invest in things that, you know, you agreed upon when you created the trust. So, you know, that's the important thing that you should see. And you also should note that, you know, when you're watching this investment, if it happens to have, you know, go down by, you know, $10,000, I mean, you know, if the note is in default, you could easily, you know, because it's in default, you could easily go to the trustee and call your money and say, look, I wish to pay my taxes, or I wish to, you know, you either comply with, because you're in default, you need to comply with, you know, my request as a lender to you, that if you don't comply, then I'm gonna pull the money. So the good part is it protects you, and that's really what everybody needs, is they have to have adequate protection, and it, you know, in adequate security. And what I always stress is diversification, because, you know, your business might be a business that you want to get out of, and maybe, you know, not knowing what your practice is, you're never guaranteed of somebody coming in and running it properly. So that's the big concern, is that you're relying on somebody or somebody's health or you know, their personality to be able to carry the torch, as you've done for so many years. And, you know, a lot of people just don't want to trust that to that particular person or company coming in and buying it out. So, you know, unless it's somebody that's really a substantial company that's, you know, that you really would trust, that's a very diversified company, that would make sense to do a traditional installment. But yet, if you don't trust that situation and you want it, you know, you don't want to pay the tax and you really do need to sell, then this may be a very viable solution for you, is to be able to cash out and have the ability to have an installment diversified in investments that you know and trust, and companies that invest that money that you know and trust, and feel good that you've got all that extra money working on your behalf.
Now, you've mentioned selecting a trustee, et cetera. What do you mean by that, in terms of it's a company, or it's a financial advisor? Or?
No, the company that we use is a 70-year-old CPA firm, and they're in the business of actually buying assets. They're in the business of buying properties. That's what they look for. That's their business, is to go out, in addition to doing tax returns. They're in the business of, you know, working to buy businesses and ultimately setting up these arrangements, you know, that they'd like to buy your practice. They'd like to look at the valuation of it, and they'd like to buy it, and then ultimately they would like to do is sell it, you know, to somebody and cash it out, so that ultimately what's left is the business that you sold to them is sold to in exchange for cash. And that cash that's in the investment that's there, you'd have a lien on that account with the investments that you would ultimately, you know, as I said, have is a diversified allocation, and then you're getting your payments from them. That's their business. That's what they want to do, and that's the trustee services that they provide, is creating a trust and providing a secured installment note with diversification, and all the money that would normally, you know, go off to the state or the IRS would be in there in addition to your own personal money. And that's, you know, again, what they're talking about offering you. And that's what we've been doing for many, many years. And it's been, you know, a lot of people are catching on to it. They really like the idea of it because it seems to be a new way out is what we really call it. And a lot of people do really like the idea of, you know, keeping all that extra tax money working for them.
Now, in the case of setting this up, does the buyer have to totally fund it? You know, or do they have to get a loan, or this is the way to really fund it through the seller?
Well, the buyer that really ultimately is going to buy from the trustee can buy it as a, you know, as a combination of all cash or even a combination of you know, half cash and half installment. The question is whether the original seller to the trustee would grant that permission. So again, what we're not going to do is buy the property immediately unless we know that we have a buyer and for the price that we all agree to. And our goal is to be able to, you know, accomplish that under contracts. And then once we know that, you know, the original seller will sell under those terms, then we can, the trustee itself, you know, will be able to go ahead and make that transaction work. So it really boils down to whoever's originally selling the asset to the trustee calls the shots. I mean, this is their business. It's their collateral. It's their security. In this case, that's all done, and they have their own representation with law firms that can do this for them with them, and making sure that everything is in place properly so that they're protected. And then it's just basically you know, clipping coupons and getting their payments and being able to see their statements on a monthly basis, and they can see it real time. So yes, the answer is yes. You can, you know, you can structure it with, you know, different types of, you know, it's all cash or a combination of a traditional installment, you know, with the trustee himself.
Okay. Well, we've got about 2.5 minutes till break, or 2 minutes. And your company, a company such as yours, helps pick the trustee or works with the trustee, not the seller or the buyer? You help set it up?
Yeah, we have a group that we work with, and we, like I said, they've been fully vetted. They're a good group, and the reason why we've selected them is because their fees are very, very low. We want this whole process to be as reasonable as possible for the note holder that wants to do this. It's really about that. That's the way we've, you know, created it. And the goal is to be able to, you know, work with good people that understand it. And it's not just going out and finding a trustee as like a bank. It's working with a company that would be obligated to pay you, and that's what they are. They're a buyer of your asset, and then they're a seller of your asset, and then they're paying you the payment based on collateral that you've accepted. So, you know, there is a specific trustee service that we've created, our tax attorneys have created with them, and in relationships to be able to do this. And it's all proprietary. We want to keep it this way to protect it, but yet our goal is to show as many people out there that this is legal. We've had IRS reviews. We've had full audits by the IRS and have looked at this, and which was good. And again, we have large tax law firms, very large tax law firms that have looked through the way we mechanically do this, and agree that it is legal, and the way we're doing it is exactly in the eyes of 453.
Perfect. Well, today we're talking with Robert Binkley, founder and CEO of Estate Planning Team. We're going to head to the break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the history and the process.
Comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Business brokerage is a very regional business due to the requirement of having face-to-face buyer and seller meetings. While Robert and Doug are regionally centric to South Central Texas with their brokerage company, Business Brokers of San Antonio, and their equipment appraisal company, Equipment Appraisers of San Antonio, They have also established BizBrokerTalk.com to help assist sellers and buyers with finding professionals in a variety of areas required in the business transaction process. This includes certified business brokers, SBA loan packagers, 401k conversion companies, lenders, as well as other necessary advisory sources. Whether you're selling or buying a business, you need a team of professionals on your side to guide you through the process. Visit BizBrokerTalk.com today. And if you're in the South Texas area, please visit Business Brokers of San Antonio at bbofsa.com or Equipment Appraisers of San Antonio at eaofsa.com.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
This is Biz Broker Talk with Robert Howells and Doug Scheiding. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or you may send an email to podcast@bizbrokertalk.com. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to Biz Broker Talk, and this is your co-host, Doug Scheiding. I'm on the line today with Robert Binkley, and we were just talking before the break in terms of why it's important for a seller to consider a structured sale and the deferment of some of the taxes and basically overall larger cash value with more control of a transaction, especially if it's seller finance. So Robert, maybe we can go about and start this segment off and talk about the process of how something like this is done.
Well, sure. I mean, the easiest way is just to find out if it's really suitable for you, and that's really the most important way that we can, you know, introduce it to you. We have a website that we've created that can kind of explain everything to you in detail, and then you can actually go in and just put your own information into the system, and it actually can create an illustration for you that can kind of give you an understanding of what this really means over a 10 or 20 year period in really serious dollars. So an example of, we had a case where somebody, you know, had $1 million basis selling it for $5 million, and they, in the state of California, they would have had to pay $1,484,000 of tax. Well, in the deferral, you get to keep that $1,484,000 inside the trust in addition to the other balance to the total of $5 million working for you. So if you could earn a rate of return on that of whatever, that extra $1,484,000, that's the proposition here. So what we want to make sure is that your tax liability is large enough to warrant doing it, and then also, you know, give you the understanding of the mechanics of it. So the website, if everybody has a pen and paper or a pencil and paper, they can write this down, and we'll repeat it again over the show. But the website is www.mydstplan.com/BBT. So it's Boy Tom. So it's mydstplan.com/BBT. And that'll actually get you to the website where you can actually look at it, read it, read the frequently asked questions, and then actually create an illustration. And what that illustration does is comes back to us, and then we actually can get you on the phone with a tax attorney free of charge to be able to discuss the whole option. There's no charge for it, and they tell you all about it. And if you're structuring, you know, looking at, you know, kind of thinking about selling, then that's really the time to start communicating with it. So that's our step one, is to really just find out if it makes sense, kind of get an overview of it, and then talk to the attorney to see if it makes sense. And then if it does, then the next step from there is, the attorney would work with creating an engagement. Not too many attorneys don't charge up front. The tax attorney that we work with does not charge any money up front. He charges at the close of the transaction, which is real important, Doug.
Wow, a success fee.
Exactly. So he also warranties his transaction for any issues with the IRS. If there was ever an audit, he would warranty that audit. He would represent the audit if there was ever an audit. Random audits can happen. So if there was, he would warranty, and he warranties his work in writing in his agreement. So that's another important aspect of his business. So, is that he, you know, doesn't take money up front, gets it when he completes the transaction, and he warranties and stands behind the transaction that he provides for you, which is very important in today's time.
Okay, so that initial process of entering the information, that sounds like it doesn't really take that long to really do that.
No, it's you know, it's as fast as your fingers can work on your little keyboard putting it in, and then from there, I mean, and don't worry if you're putting information in whether it's a right or wrong answer. I mean, you don't know exactly the your business, and I also want to tell people that it's very important to note that some people have real estate in their business. So if somebody really has real estate, it's very important to note that you can do this with real estate as well. We do a lot of real estate in this. We do a lot of business sales. But a lot of people say, you know, I wish to exchange. I'd like to do a 1031 with my real estate. And absolutely, you can do that as well. So that's another important fact that you can go that route as well. So, you know, what we're all about is to to give you the solutions that work for you. But with a business, you really can't exchange. You can exchange your real property. But with your business, in most cases, you're not going to be able to do 1031 exchange. And quite frankly, a lot of people that are considering 1031 exchanges are basically looking at selling their properties for the high value and then looking for somebody else's property at the high value. So what are you doing? You're really just trading dollars. You're going from one high property to another high property. And, you know, the idea is to sell it at the high and then go back and buy something later in life, and at a real, you know, good value. I mean, you're seeing that with a lot of apartments. They're really at a very low cap rate. So in this case, you could sell out, get out, and then down the road, you know, look at buying apartments down there if the cap rates ever change. So that's another advantage of doing the deferred sales trust in, you know, today and, you know, getting out of real estate if you really wanted to get out of it, or your business if you think it's the opportune time.
Well, this sounds like it's a lot more flexible than the 1031 because, you know, periodically we'll run into clients that are potential clients that are in a panic because they're, you know, coming up on their end of their expiration period.
Absolutely. You've got a 45-day identification, which can be very difficult to find property and do due diligence, and that's difficult. And certainly, you know, that is really nice for the DST that you don't have that issue. And then in addition, you got to close within the total of 180 days, which is another problem. So, and then you've got to find the same debt replacement, which can, you know, carry a boot issue if you can't find the debt issue. So it's a replacement issue. So these are the things that can be very problematic. And again, our tax attorney, by just getting him on the phone, can kind of go through that with you free of charge to give you some good, you know, direction and to see if it's really suitable for you. And that's our goal, is to try to just give everybody a good direction of what, you know, and then most important, talk to your CPA. You know, our goal is to talk to your CPA. If you have a local attorney, we talk to them, we educate them on the concept, go through it and see if it's really suitable and it's something that you like. And again, we're really here just to help and give you good ideas if it makes sense.
Okay, so after the seller speaks to the tax attorney and kind of what's the next step after that and kind of the time frame that we're talking about?
Sure, the next step is if everything looks good and, you know, they like what they're hearing, then the trustee would be looking and analyzing the property value, making sure that it's, you know, it's something that he would like to buy or the business, and then entering into an agreement to purchase it, and then you know, and then ultimately going out and selling the business, you know, for them. And if he can sell it, that's when he'll take possession. He's not going to take possession. He's not taking any income off of it. He's going to keep everything in place with you until he can find somebody that can buy it for the price that you both agree. And that's his goal, is to be able to do that and accomplish that. And that's really what we do very well, work with business brokers to be able to do that, to be able to accomplish getting the price. And in addition to that, you know, being able to defer it. So the next step is, once they know that they really want to do this, the rate of return is negotiated between the the trustee and the note holder. And how we determine the rate of return is based on the collateral and the risk of how the investment is made. So what we do at the estate planning team is administer a risk tolerance questionnaire so that we can know and the trustee can know specifically what kind of risks that the note holder and, you know, the husband and spouse or, you know, vice versa, whichever, you know, what kind of risks that they are willing to accept, you know, on the investments and what type of investments that they would approve that the money would go into. And again, we're dealing with very large financial institutions, very well-known names in the institutional world that have really good credibility. And those are the companies that the trustee would choose as their choice to offer as collateral. Yet the note holder would certainly know those companies. We believe that they would trust those companies and feel good about the type of collateral that they would be in, you know, accept and approve. And once that's done, once the asset is sold, then the monies would actually go into those investments and start, you know, performing on the installment process. The installment payments would start be met based on the note that was negotiated.
Oh, okay. So that kind of a trigger mechanism that basically it's not done until there's a willing buyer that comes forward. So, but the trust company that basically is interested in pursuing, let's say, a particular asset, whether it's real estate or business, but do they have their own valuation or, you know, because every seller thinks their property or business is worth $1 million or $5
million. Right, and that's real important because what we don't want to do is obligate the seller to a price that the trustee is going to take advantage of them on, and vice versa. You know, so it's really valuations come into play. The trustee is going to go out and try to do that with the business broker, as well as, you know, work with them to try to get the price that ultimately they want, and make sure that what they're asking is not too much or, you know, or too little. So it's got to be fair and equitable to both sides, and then ultimately, once they both agree. And again, this agreement doesn't, you know, it's agreement that basically, you know, creates the opportunity for both parties to get together and start that process. And then once they finally home in on a number, that number is going to be basically agreed upon based on whatever the trustee can go out and sell it for. And again, that's usually agreeable by both parties. That's always been the case, and it has to be, because we want to make sure that the seller is very happy and getting the price that they want. So again, that's our job, is to make sure that we can do this. And, you know, in the case of the $5 million, they're going to have an extra $1,484,000 in that case, with $1 million basis to work with that California business sale, and they're going to be very happy that they're going to have an extra $1,484,000 working for them in addition to their other balance of cash. So that's pretty meaningful, especially with somebody that's retiring. I mean, you know, if you look at the statistics, I know that you were talking about the baby boomers on the last show, but,
right,
you know, 10,000 people every day are turning 65. And I can tell you that people that are turning 65 are starting to think different, that they were in their 45s and the 55s, and now that they're 65, they really would like to smell the roses here and enjoy their retirement. But, you know, having an extra $1,484,000 is a very, very important part of, you know, retirement, is having more money. I mean, when interest rates are low, you need as much money as you could possibly get. And, you know, it is very, very valuable to keep that tax money working for you, and, you know, and diversify, and especially in that, and it gives you the ability to retire now and not have to wait, you know, another, you know, 5 or 10 years to be able to accomplish that.
Right. You know, I think the statistic is that, you know, a typical small business owner, about 60 or 65% of their, you know, net worth is wrapped up into their business. And so that is going to be their pension. That is going to be their retirement income as they go forward.
Yeah. And I always tell these retirees, I mean, you know, they want to sell. They see it as the right time to sell, and the SBA window is open. However, they just see the tax bill and they go, I can't afford to sell. So that's why, you know, if they don't, you get out, then maybe that price that they would have had today, tomorrow won't be there. That's the other concern, that, you know, hey, look, I'd like to get out, but I can't get out because, I can't afford to pay the tax, and that's really what we're trying to accomplish for them, is to give them the ability to sell. And, you know, if you think about the world and the economy, if people don't sell and people don't transact, people aren't making money. People are not transacting and doing business. So my concern is to be able to offer ways for people to transact so people will transact, and everybody benefits. Most importantly, the person that really wants to retire. And that's, you know, they've worked hard. They should be allowed to be able to defer and pay their taxes over time, which is great for them, you know, and certainly gives them more money to live on over time. And that's what we try to illustrate on this website. And if anybody did not get this website to go to, it's www.mydstdogsamtomplan.com/BBT. It's boy Tom.
Perfect.
So again, Doug, thanks. You know, this is, I think, probably one of the better areas to think about, especially when you don't have the ability to 1031 your business sale. It is very meaningful to people.
Absolutely. So we've got a couple minutes till break. Kind of selfishly, the next question is selfish from the standpoint of, does the trust company choose the business broker, or does the business broker like come to you? And who signs the listing agreement? Is it an exclusive agreement or non-exclusive, or how's that done?
The business broker that both the seller and the trustee wish to work with is really that party. Because, you know, again, a lot of times the business broker is somebody that, you know, the actual seller that's considering selling is very interested in obtaining somebody that's looking to buy it, and obviously the trustee is not familiar with a particular area.
Right.
Is open to work with whoever, to be able to make sure that, you know, it's fair dealing, that, you know, again, our goal and objectives is exactly what the note holder wants. And we want to make sure that they get exactly what they want right from day one. And that's really it. It's not us trying to figure out how to, you know, move the property and take advantage of them at all. It's all about us trying to reach the price that they want to get the best price, or we don't buy it. I mean, if we can't give them the best price, it's just not going to happen. And that's really the most important thing. So, you know, it's mutually agreed on by both parties on who the business broker would be. And obviously, getting that sale is really about making sure that we provide for the note holder to accomplish, is the best purchase price possible.
Right. That's kind of what we all want. And as a business broker, I think the industry's statistic is about a 20% higher actual sales price as compared to doing a for sale by owner. And this is actually a very interesting alternative that, you know, as a business broker, you can keep in your back pocket and kind of educate the seller as to a way for them to structure the sale and put more in their pocket. So,
yeah, you're absolutely right. One last point before we go to break is just,
you bet,
is that, you know, it's very important to structure your deal right, and that's the other important part of when you're thinking about selling. I think it's just one of the best things you could do is get on the phone with a tax attorney, because they have a different way of looking at things from a tax point of view and tax engineering your sale. So that's really important to get to that person ahead of time before you actually do a deal, because then you could be bound to some sort of deal that it's not in your best interest tax-wise. So it's absolutely important to look at that. And the other one last bit is, a lot of people have businesses in a C corp where there's double taxation. So, you know, this DST can actually defer the double taxation. So it gives you the ability to defer the C corp level and at the shareholder level, and then ultimately convert it to an S corp down the road, and then only have one tax. So you're not having to pay the double taxation. So, or discount the asset, you know, because they're gonna structure it a different way. So you, because of that, because of the C corp. So a lot of people don't want to buy your corporation because ultimately they don't want to take on the liability of it. So again, it's all about structuring it. And you know, I mean, again, our goal is to work out a very favorable tax result for each and every one of you. And then you know, with partnerships, one partner wants to go one way, the other one wants to go another way. The deferred sales trust is a very nice way of allowing one to go pay their tax and the other one to defer their tax. So not everybody has to go the same way. That's another important fact, Doug.
Okay. Well, we're speaking with Robert Binkley, founder and CEO of Estate Planning Team, EPT. We'll head to the break and we'll come back for our third and final segment.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Business brokerage is a very regional business due to the requirement of having face-to-face buyer and seller meetings. While Robert and Doug are regionally centric to South Central Texas with their brokerage company, Business Brokers of San Antonio, and their equipment appraisal company, Equipment Appraisers of San Antonio, they have also established BizBrokerTalk.com to help assist sellers and buyers with finding professionals in a variety of areas required in the business transaction process. This includes certified business brokers, SBA loan packagers, 401k conversion companies, lenders, as well as other necessary advisory sources. Whether you're selling or buying a business, you need a team of professionals on your side to guide you through the process. Visit BizBrokerTalk.com today. And if you're in the South Texas area, please visit Business Brokers of San Antonio at bbofsa.com or Equipment Appraisers of San Antonio at eaofsa.com.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Biz Broker Talk with Robert Howells and Doug Scheiding. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or you may send an email to podcast@bizbrokertalk.com. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to Biz Broker Talk with Doug Scheiding, and we're with Robert Binkley this evening, founder and CEO of the Estate Planning Team. So, Robert, we were talking about kind of some of the history and the IRS code and in Section 1, Segment 1, and the process in Segment 2. Maybe we can talk about, some of the common questions that that come up as part of this whole setup and process, like, what happens if, the seller dies or something, and does it pass on to the estate, et cetera, once this is set up?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. That's one that we definitely get a lot. What would happen in the event that you created this note and you passed away? There's no real benefits for you, obviously. You're gone now. So in this case, your spouse would continue to get the payments on the installment note until the end of the term. We also have the ability to create a provision in the note to pay off the money at that point in time if they're in the event of a death. So the money is available and all the earnings on that money will be paid up according to whatever the schedule is, and then everybody gets paid off, and at that time they would pay their taxes. A lot of questions come is, do I lose my step up on my basis in keeping that business? And the answer is yes. You don't get to keep your step up. And the reason is because you've sold the asset. It's now liquid. You do owe the IRS the taxes on that money, and you're going to pay them over time. The decision that you've made is to sell and retire now and live on that money, but if you look at historical time and how long, if you, you know, 10 years, 12 years, can you double that money based on an interest-free loan from the IRS? In essence, that's the question, and that's what the goal and objectives are, you know, to be able to keep that money deferred over time. And in the event that you did pass away, your spouse could continue on, and you could also elect not to take the payment. You could elect to, at the end when the note's due and payable, your children could elect to renegotiate a new term with a trustee. So you could ultimately go longer than 10 years and do another 10 years if you or your spouse decided, you know, depending on if you had it for one party or both parties being protected, or if you both passed away, then the children can make that decision. So the good part is that you're going to keep that money deferred, and you could keep that money diversified and keep that money paying your family and ultimately getting more money over time. So again, you don't get to keep your step up, you lose the step up, but yet the benefits of keeping this over time is that it should outperform the unlimited step up. And we don't know if the unlimited step is going to stay in for good. We don't know anything yet. So it's, the most important thing is that your note that you have, your note that would be due and payable from the trustee, the installment note should be held in your living trust.
Okay.
So that's another point. You want to make sure that whoever is handling your estate upon death would be able to make that decision, whether it's one of your children or your spouse. Usually they, either one would be the trustee upon one of the spouses dying, and then upon both, and they would, have either a third party trustee make that decision, or they would actually have one of the family members that would handle the settlement of the estate. So again, everybody really needs to know that, you have the ability to keep the deferral going if need be and continue on. Unless you want to put a provision in the agreement to have that paid out upon death.
Okay. And go ahead.
One other point. This does not take it out of the taxable estate. The note is, the asset that you had, that you sold it, is in your estate. When you sell the note, it's still in your estate. It is an asset of yours. It produces income. It produces, revenue to you, and it is something that if you decided you needed to go out and buy another piece of property, or you wanted to go buy another business, could you do that? The answer is yes. You could easily go to look at a business that you got into, and maybe it's the same similar business that you sold, or that you want to buy a business that's much lower, a much lower valuation that you sold, and you could buy it for a lot less than what you sold it for. You could easily take some money out of the trust. If there's some provisions in there for that, you could easily put that down as the down payment and go to the SBA window for a new loan on a new business. And which is great is you're still deferring the, let's say, 80% that you didn't take. You're still deferring that, and you still have that as, cash reserves as a note that's due and payable to you. And again, that's a very important aspect of being able to transact and knowing that you can get out and maybe buy something down the road and still keep tax deferral going for you. So, I always say that this is very creative. It's a very nice way to, transact, and it's a legal way to transact, but yet, most importantly, it's just different than what people are used to. So what we want to do is educate people as best possible so they can understand what you can do, what you can't do. And really, in that case, if they like it, they think it's really right for them, then we move forward to execute the transaction to close.
Okay, so if someone, you mentioned if someone wanted to get back and purchase real estate or a business, et cetera, now would they, and take some money out, would they have to pay the taxes that were deferred at that time, or that's done pre-tax as well?
They'd have to pay tax based on the year that they've taken it out. So, if capital gains rates was, at the highest rate this year and they took it out next year where it went down, they could pay a lower rate, or vice versa, it could go higher, they could actually pay more. So, you have to kind of understand that you know, the IRS wins either way, but bottom line is they get their money over time, and they do get their installment money, but it's a win-win for both the IRS and even the state that you live in. If there's tax, it's a win-win for everybody. But again, you know, if taxes go higher, you'll owe more. Taxes go lower, you'll earn, you know, you'll owe less. The other real important thing that I would say is that if you did take a loss, you know, in a year that you lost money and you had money coming out, you could offset your loss against the gain that you haven't taken here. So it gives you the ability. Some people have got out of property, made their money, paid their taxes, and then went back and reinvested and lost a great deal of money, and then they couldn't offset it against the tax that they paid the year prior. In this case, you know, you've got the ability to, you know, keep the money deferred, and then if you did lose, you could offset, you know, that money against a gain. You know, again, then, you know, that is a nice feature to be able to, you know, I mean, it's never nice to lose money, but when you do, you know, you'd like to be able to offset it and not have to pay the government, and not, you know, and have to, you know, and carry it forward, if you don't have the ability to wash it against a gain that you haven't taken. So it's nice to be able to do this, with the installment in that case, and it gives you a lot more flexibility, than I would say than a just, you know, an exchange or just, you know, paying your taxes, of course.
Yeah, exactly. So it sounds like there's flexibility or variability in the payment stream as well. So if you wanted to increase the payments over time, you could do that.
Yeah, I mean the goal here is that you know, the trustee and the note holder and the attorneys, you know, work together to design exactly what they like, and that at some point in time the note would be due and payable. They can change it. There's provisions in there to protect the note holder as well as protect, you know, to make sure that it's done right. And at arm's length. And again, our goal is to give them something that, you know, they really do need, especially in times when they're in their retirement stage, that they really don't want to transact. They want to just go out and live the life and enjoy life and know that their money has been invested, you know, the way they've approved it to be invested, as their collateral. And that they don't want a bunch of risk associated with it, and they'd like to just settle in with more money. And, you know, and that's the goal and objectives of every taxpayer, is to be able to have as much money so they can live on it and live longer. You know, people are living longer, they need more money. So that's really, there is an estate tax play here. I mean, we do create an estate tax plan for people. We deal with a lot of high net worth clients that come into us that are really very interested in, you know, in doing gifting. There's a lot of charitable gifting that we bring into the equation here as well. So that's
okay.
Another important aspect of, you know, us working together to try to figure out if you want to give to your charity. This is a nice way to give to your charity. A lot of people will get, you know, locked in with charitable remainder trusts, and, you know, they find out that, you know, the performance didn't do very well, and, you know, they didn't really want to do the, you know, to give all their assets away, and they did, and irrevocably, and, you know, in this case, you're not giving away your asset, you're selling it, and you're getting an installment, you're getting paid, and then over time, you can certainly gift to the charity, you know, some of that income that you're getting and deriving from the installment note. You could absolutely gift to your charities over time, which I think is wonderful, and a lot of charities really appreciate it and they need it, and certainly I think it's a wonderful, you know way to help your charity. But yet, if you are in a year that you can't afford it, then you have that ability where, you know, it's an all or nothing situation with a CRT.
Okay. And if someone's interested and they have their own tax advisor or attorney, then they can work with the people on your side to really get them spun up, because I'm sure there's some education going that way as well.
Absolutely. That's really wanted to do, is to teach everybody the mechanics of it, get them comfortable with it so that they really understand what we've been doing for so long. And a lot of people say, well, why don't I know more about this? Why haven't I heard about it? You know, it's a name that we, you know, we created, trademarked it. And, you know, again, it's not in the code. You won't find deferred sales trust in the tax code, but you will find, it's just a made up name, and it's a name that represents a different type of an installment that we believe is right for the client, and certainly, you know, and suitable. But again, we go through that suitability part of making sure that, it's right for them, and making sure that their attorney sees it as right, and their financial planner or whoever, that represents them, or CPA, to make sure that it's absolutely perfect for them before we do it. And then once we do it, then it works very nicely that if, at some point in time, if they, get in a situation, there can be provisions in there, they can pay them off. Again, the assets are liquid, unlike a traditional installment. Somebody, you'd have to first kick them out and then take the property back and then resell it again. In this case, you're in the situation where the asset is liquid. It could be liquidated in 3 days, or depending on how the investments are made, but yet, that money could be returned to them pretty quickly. And that's really the most important thing, is they like the ability to have liquidity, or they like to know that they have liquidity events when they're structured inside the note. So with that, I think, a lot of people like this as a very viable option, as opposed to what's out there, which is really nothing except a traditional installment for a business sale.
Well, Robert, we appreciate the time this evening that you've devoted to this. And if you wouldn't mind, how could someone contact you directly?
Sure. Let me give everybody my toll-free number. The number is 866-779-5339. That's 866-779-5339. And again, anytime that anybody would like to talk, we'd love to talk about their particular situation and see how we can help them, and certainly get them on the phone. And again, the website, to go to, of just educating yourself, and if you want, our information is not shared with anybody, with the exception of the tax attorney, of making sure that it's looked at and to see if it's right for you, and getting on the phone. That is www.mydstplan.com/BBT. And that, again, is the website that you would go to get an illustration. And certainly, if you would like and you don't have access to a computer, just call us, and we can certainly help you with getting you on the phone with a tax attorney and go over any questions that you might
Perfect.
Have regarding your situation.
Well, Robert, thank you, really Doug. Appreciate really it again. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful
Have a good evening. Evening.
Thank you.
You too.
Thank you again for joining us today for Biz Broker Talk. Please join Robert and Doug again next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. After today's show, we hope you are one step closer to a successful sale of your business.